We are doing a message today speaking about being thankful for Jesus Christ as we introduce a new series for Christmas. Have you ever received a gift so magnificent, so awesome, you couldn't describe it? Any of you know what I'm talking about? Now, maybe as an adult, you say, there's nothing I can't describe. But when you're little, sometimes there's a gift that you get and you just don't know what to do about it, how to express yourself, and words just don't seem adequate. When I was a little kid, all I wanted was a camera. I thought, man, if I could have a camera, I'd be something. Now, do you all know what a camera is? Okay. I wasn't asking for a phone. I wanted a Kodak Instamatic camera. You know, the kind that took the 126 film cartridge. And I had a way with my parents, any way possible, to let them know just what I wanted for Christmas. And they got it for me. And you would have thought I should have expected it because I've been bugging them for 3 months. But when I got that thing, I would be on America's Funniest Home Videos. Woo! I was jumping around. Look at this. I got a camera. Got some of those cartridges, you know. And there's a problem. You have to pay to have your film developed back in the day. And I remember I got my first two cartridges developed, and there were pictures of my feet, pictures of the ceiling. Once in a while, there might be a person in the frame of the picture. I took a picture of our dog, those kinds of things. And then we had to put a new cartridge in. Did the same kind of thing. It was like, and my parents were like, we can't afford this. And soon I realized that it's expensive to have a Kodak Instamatic camera. Somebody's making money, and I think they live in Kingsport, Tennessee. Back in the day, if you worked for Kodak, you know what I'm talking about. You know, funny thing, when we're little, we understand, or we don't understand, how to express the amazement over a gift. That's awesome. And sometimes that's part of being married, isn't it? You try to come up with something that you're going to be shocked, your spouse is going to be shocked when they open that gift. You know, I've gone from slippers to blenders to mixers. I've never amazed Pam with one of my gifts yet. But in this Christmas season, we have a gift, according to God's word, that is truly amazing. The Apostle Paul put it this way in a very short verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15, when he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." An indescribable gift. And today, I want to begin a series for Christmas and for Thanksgiving, thanking him for the gift, looking forward to what this gift means by looking at the names given to Jesus around the nativity, around the birth, from prophecies to the story shared for us in the Gospels. And this, I believe, can be a tremendous study for each of us. And here's why. Each name given to Jesus meets a need that each of us has in our life. And the needs are different. But we all have some of the basic needs of why we need Jesus Christ in our lives. And the needs that you see in your life, the difficulties you have in your life, the hardships you have in your life, if you see Jesus the way that God presents him in his name, and that's the only way it's described to us, we get just a glimpse of the wonder and glory of Jesus Christ. I believe you could be the greatest Bible scholar in all the world, and you could study the names of Jesus for your whole lifetime, And people would stand back in amazement and say, now there is a scholar. Now there's somebody that really knows his Bible. And you would know your Bible, but you would still just have a glimpse of the marvelous wonder of who Jesus Christ really is. It's kind of like an iceberg, right? That you can see the tip of the iceberg, but underneath there is so much more. And God's Word reveals to us what our finite minds can understand about an infinite God, but there's so much more. And when we get to heaven, when we're with Him in glory, and we see things completely at that point and understand all so much more about God and who He is and His Son, at that point, we'll step back and say, man, I really didn't know that much when I was a Bible scholar for 50 years of my life. Hey, don't let that discourage you. Still be a Bible scholar for 50 years. But just know the wonderful name of Jesus is indescribable because He's our gift, and we try to grasp all we can. You know, I don't understand electricity very well. I about got shocked a couple days ago. I knew that was dangerous. I turn on the lights, and when they work, that's awesome. When I got shocked, the lights went out. I understood that. But I don't understand all there is to know about electricity, but I know I need it. I don't understand everything about God, but I'm trying to understand all He's revealed here, and I know I need Him, and you need Him as well. So explaining the indescribable, much is revealed in His names. Even though He's above our understanding, the most that we can know is given to us in His Word, and the names are a big part of His Word. So we're going to look at two names today for Jesus. One you already know, it's Jesus, and then the other we've sung about. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. I hope you have Bibles. Turn those pages. You might have already been there. There we go. Find them. Or you got your phone. You're clicking there. And we're going to read together Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Very familiar passage about the birth of Christ. Stand with me as we read God's Word out of reverence for His Word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was still a virgin, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He wanted to not embarrass her. He loved her enough. He didn't want to make a public example. But look at verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that as we study your word today, you'll show us some wonderful things as we go into this Christmas season that we can trust in and know as you guide us through our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Explaining the indescribable and looking at Jesus first of all. By the way, did you get it? This is the first reveal of a baby given in the New Testament. that we know that this would be a boy. Kid, you know, young couples have reveal parties where they're going to reveal the sex. Well, the angel ruined it for them and gave it out. And they knew they would have a son, and they were to give the name of the child, the name Jesus. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua from the Old Testament. The name literally means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh saves. It was a common name. It was not an uncommon name. There were other Jesuses that lived around the time of Jesus, but Jesus was special because his birth and his name was pronounced by an angel. And they did not get to name the child that they were bearing, but the angel, God gave them the name. And Jesus' special hand of God on his life was revealed through his life, his mission, and his identity as the Messiah, as the Christ. She shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. The passage we just read reveals three revelations, gives us three revelations that we need to know about Jesus by his name. The first is this: Jesus is God's son. Jesus is God's son. Do you know if I were to say that phrase in some countries, I would be a criminal? I could be thrown in jail. I could be executed. There are people that hate the name of Jesus, but they even hate more that we as Christians proclaim Jesus Christ is God's son. They just don't believe that. Many, like Muslims, part of their jihad is against Christianity, is we proclaim Jesus is God's son. And that's revealed in other passages, but this passage reveals it as well to us. We see in verse 20 where the angel says to Joseph, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Yes, she's a virgin, and she's pregnant, but this is God's son conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it this way when he was in a conversation with a religious Jew by the name of Nicodemus, who was a good teacher, a good man, a religious man. And he came to Jesus by night wanting to know more, and Jesus revealed this about himself. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He told Nicodemus that he was the Son of God, sent to bring salvation to all who believe. Jesus is God's Son. We call this the incarnation, God taking on flesh, and he took on flesh in the form of his Son. And one of the greatest passages about the incarnation is given to us, and you might want to write this down for further study. We'll just read it here this morning. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Listen to what Paul writes. "He," speaking of Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And listen to what he says. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." See, some people believe, oh, when Jesus was born, that's when God's Son came into existence. That's when he was born of human flesh. But Jesus has always existed with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity past. And it was Jesus who played that part of the creation of this world. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Did you know that? Some people don't like the church today, but Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. They are equal. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It's God's Son, but peace was made through the blood of his cross. Isn't that an amazing thought to think of? Jesus Christ is God's Son. The second revelation that we see in this text is that Jesus is God's only way of salvation. There aren't many roads leading to heaven. There's just one. And that road is stained with the blood of Jesus Christ. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." Remember, Yahweh saves, "for he will save his people from their sins." Before Jesus was born, the angel proclaimed that God's way of salvation was to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus later on in his life, in his public ministry, said this in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's the only way. The Bible is clear about that. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, the great passage that talks about Jesus humbling himself and coming to earth. Listen to what he says. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He was fully God, fully man, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted his name, exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Isn't that amazing? Hey, you may not like proclaiming, or you may not even believe that Jesus is God's Son, but the Bible says very clearly there is coming a day when every knee, every tongue will bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Those that have rejected him and they die in their sins, lost in their sins, as they stand before him in the judgment, they will acknowledge him as Lord, but it will be too late. And so it's urgent for us to proclaim that we believe it. If we did, that's what you saw in the baptismal waters. They were proclaiming, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I put my faith in him. I believe he died, was buried. He rose victorious over sin and death, and he is Lord." So we know that Jesus is God's Son. We know that Jesus is God's only way of salvation. We also see Jesus is needed because of sin. In this birth announcement, in this reveal about Jesus Christ, the angel had to bring up a problem all of us have. And that problem is sin. Are you with me this morning? Is there anyone here who has never sinned? Would you raise your hand? All right, just to make sure you're still awake, if you have ever sinned, would you raise your hands? Okay, all right, most hands went up. I'm glad to see that. Some of you, it's not a trick question. All right, the angel in the Christmas story had to bring up the awfulness of sin. Exactly what is sin? In the original language, in the Greek language, the word here for sin means you miss the mark. What is the mark? Any of you do target shooting? with a gun? Any of you have a gun? I'm glad we have an officer here today that has a gun and knows how to shoot that thing, right? And so when that officer takes that gun and they're practicing shooting, you want to make sure that what they aim at, they hit, right? You don't want, I was within 6 feet of the target, right? I want a bullseye to be hit with that bullet, right? Well, the bullseye, get this, for God's standard is absolute perfection and holiness. That's the only way we can come to heaven, is through holiness. But we have a problem, all right? And it's a huge problem. We all miss the mark. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. Wait a minute. We're a whole church full of people. We're worshiping God. There's not one here that's perfect? I promise you, there's not one person here that's perfect. We all miss the mark. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. That sin messes our lives up. I have seen sin destroy families, ruin incomes, ruin jobs, ruin schools, ruin everything. It doesn't matter what it is, sin ruins what God wants to be right. And we all have that problem. We're all sinners. And some people think, well, I have the solution. I'll be good. Guess what? You're never going to be good enough. All our good deeds, the Bible says, are as filthy rags, as rubbish. God sees everything you do good as filthy. Now we have a problem. I'm a sinner. I missed the mark. I can't be good enough. What's the answer? Well, God gives the answer. And it's kind of hard at first. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Wait a minute, that's not the answer. Yeah, it is. It is the answer for your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what did I mean when I said that death is the answer for sin? It's the payment, it's the penalty of sin, but it's also the answer for sin. It is what is required of sin. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What does that mean? It means there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Here's the good news. If you've been asleep, if you're still struggling with that turkey sleep, you know what I'm talking about. This will wake you up. The death that is required could only be paid by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Remember when John saw Jesus walking towards him, when Jesus wanted to be an example of what baptism is about, and Jesus is walking towards John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." See, the people of Israel have been slaughtering lambs year after year, looking towards the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah has now come. They didn't expect that he would take care of their sin problem this way. He did. He died for their sins. He died for our sins. That's how he is the Savior of the world. We all need Jesus. Jesus is the only way to have victory over sin. Jesus is needed because of sin. One of my favorite verses, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died. He took our penalty. And I just love the baptism waters because it gives that picture. It paints the picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful name, Jesus. But in the text we read out of Matthew, verses 22 through 23, we see a second name given for Jesus, and it's Emmanuel. There's two ways to spell it. I know that. Some Bibles it's I-M, others it's E-M. That doesn't matter. It's just how it's spelled. But the name Emmanuel, what an Awesome name. And you know what's interesting? We're going to read this, verses 22 through 23. I want you to notice a difference. Remember, he said, you shall call his name, what? Jesus. Here, there's a difference. They will call him Emmanuel. Let's look at this. So all this was done, verse 22 in Matthew 1, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child. There's the Virgin Mary, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. How awesome is that? This was a fulfilling of a prophecy given to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, listen to what God's word, what the prophet said would come about in the future of the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. See, just like you and I, we have different names. Some people call me pastor. My wife might call me some other name sometime. To some people, Brother Paul, Pastor Paul. During VBS one year, I remember I was back in Missouri. I was Cowboy Paul. We all carry different titles and different names, but here we are given a title, a name for Jesus, Emmanuel, meaning literally God with us. That's amazing. We saw he's God's son, but that might put him far, far away, not involved with our lives. Once he came to earth and he died, he rose from the grave, he's left us and has nothing more to do with us, but that's not true. For us, God is with us. So what does this name tell us? This name, God is with us. Here's an interesting point that this name makes, and this is number four for us today of a revelation about Jesus in this text. Jesus is God. He's God's own son. He is with us. We'll see that here in just a minute. But he is God. God, it says, God with us. Do you get the connection? In John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He equates himself as equal with the Father, claiming unity with the Father. John 8:58, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That was a shocker, because when the Jewish people heard him say that, they wanted to kill and stone him. They saw that as blasphemy. They understood, listen, they understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. We sometimes yawn at that. This is another thing that would be illegal to say in a foreign country, by the way. Wear it on a t-shirt in some country and see how long you last. Jesus is God. This is so foundational to our faith. In John 14:9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? When you see Jesus, you see God, because he is God. He is one with the Father. The fifth revelation we see in the text we read today, Jesus is with us. Now I want you to think about this. He is with us. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he indwells with us. He lives with us. We're in Christ. He is in us. Hebrews 13:5 says this. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5. This is really an amazing passage. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, what is covetousness? What he's saying, hey, live not longing to just get things, to go after things, to never be content with what you have. Then he says, be content with such things as you have. That makes sense? For he himself has said, listen, I love this. We have all we need in Jesus because he's with us. And this is what the writer of Hebrews said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, here's the outcome of this. My Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He is with us. Listen. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it may be you ready to go into eternity. Psalm 23 promises us, the Lord is my shepherd. You may be with a loved one going through that valley of shadow of death. I've been there. I've walked through it. It wasn't my time. But I knew the difference between those who knew Jesus and those who didn't. There was a special grace, a special mercy, special help. Why? Jesus was with them. You may be tempted at school to do something really, really bad. And you're saying, boy, everybody else is doing this. Everybody else is partying. Everybody else is doing this. But I'm a Christian. Be content with who you are, with what you have. And Jesus is with you. He'll give you the strength to say no. When you're at work and you have the opportunity to stab your boss in the back and to really get even about some things, Jesus is with you. Are you going to take that name with you to tear down somebody else? In your home, when you feel like the whole thing's about ready to blow up, things are really rough at the home, and you say, how can I make it? Jesus is with you. Listen, we have to understand the power of his presence with us. That's why Paul could write in Romans 8:37. Listen to this. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other created thing shall be able to separate us. Listen to this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that worth saying amen? Crowd's down a little bit. A lot of people traveling, so the ameners must be gone. But amen anyway. All right, I need my button back up here. Then our final revelation from this text, and I love this. If he's with us, he's for us. Jesus is for us. What then in Romans 8:31, we read out other verses in Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things, to all the things coming against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, we have so much in Jesus. It's indescribable in some ways, but what we can describe is should motivate us in several different ways that we can stand up for the Lord and with the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, as the new church was formed, the high priests came against Christianity, and part of that coming against Christianity was led by Saul, who later on got saved and became Paul. He was present at all this, and there was a man they brought before the high priests by the name of Stephen, and they were questioning him about his beliefs. And if you read Acts chapter 7, he gave about 50 verses of a defense of his faith in Christ. And it was strong. And at the very end, here's these high priests. Now, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? And Stephen knew they were the ones, and the likes of them as well, that crucified his Savior. So listen to what Stephen said. He had to have some guts. I got to tell you that. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. I mean, you couldn't have said anything worse to a Jew as you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Could there be some here resisting the Holy Spirit? I don't know. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your father's did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Oh, he had just given them a history lesson of all the way they had persecuted God's work. And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. Speaking of Jesus, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He said, you all murdered Jesus. You murdered the Just One, the one that the prophets were coming. You're uncircumcised in your heart and ears. You're just phonies. You're just fakes. You're not the real deal. Verse 54 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. Have you ever had your parents gnash at you with your teeth? Some of you, yeah, I know what that. Yeah, man, these guys were upset. But he, this is speaking of Stephen, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, now get this, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In his death, he could see Jesus waiting for him. Jesus was in him, but remember, Jesus is God. He's everywhere. He's standing with the Father. I see him at the right hand of God. Woo! In his time of death, there was Jesus. Then they cried out. This is the stiff-necked and the uncircumcised. They cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. Now, that doesn't mean they all jumped in a Honda to chase him down. That was a little Bible joke. They ran with one accord. That means they were all together. They charged at Stephen, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's with us. He ministers to us in a special time. But not only did he say that, the next verse shows just how real Jesus was to Stephen. Then he knelt down. And he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Jesus was with him. Today, as we close this message, I usually close with a so what factor. I have three challenges I want to give you today. The first of this is this. Who is Jesus to you? Is he God's son? Is he with you? Has there truly been a time of salvation in your life? Now, I want to put it this way. I'm not asking what others think. All right? Yeah, my wife thinks I'm saved. My husband thinks I'm, my parents think I'm saved. But do you know you're saved? Is Jesus for real your personal Lord and Savior? If not, why not today? Well, what will other people think? What will happen? There'll only be rejoicing. There'll not be one person upset over anyone here today who says, I need Jesus. Last week, we had a young lady when I presented the gospel and I prayed a prayer to help people if they're ready to receive Christ. And I said, did any of you receive Christ today? And she raised her hand, and she wanted to make sure I saw it. She knew she needed Jesus. Do you need Jesus? Today, all it takes is you praying a prayer like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But I believe what I heard today. I believe Jesus is your son. Came to earth. He died for my sins. I believe he rose to give me victory over sin and death. Today, I call on Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. If you prayed that prayer, or you're ready to pray the prayer, Jesus is ready to come into your life. God's word says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, I can be saved right now? Yeah. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved whenever. But be saved when the Holy Spirit's drawing and be ready for Him. The second so what factor is this. Here's a really good question. If Jesus is your Savior, how can you strengthen your relationship with Him? What do you need to do? Is there some sin you need to deal with? Do you need to get back into God's Word, grow in knowing how to pray, being faithful to church, being faithful to serving? I don't know if there's probably 50 different answers for that in this room today. If He is your Savior, how can you strengthen your relationship with Him? And then here's the third one. This Christmas season, live out the truth of what we studied today, that He is with you. He loves you, cares for you. Share that good news. We have these invites at the back table for you to use to invite people during the month of December to come. Each Sunday, we're going to look at different names of Jesus. Each message will stand on its own. We'll show what we've already looked at, but there's going to be messages that really speak to the broken. There's messages that feel like there's no way I can have victory in my life. The names of Jesus meet every need. I'm so excited about this series, and I know you will be blessed by that. Let's stand together as we enter into a time of invitation. The altar is going to be open for you to come and pray, to seek to a closer walk with God. You may say, I might be the only one to come forward. Praise God for that. Stephen, as he was standing, was the only one standing for Jesus. But he still stood. And then his last breath, he went to his knees and said, don't hold this against these that are killing me. The altar is a great place to do business with God. Maybe you're here and you've seen the baptism and you've seen all that's going on. And in your heart and life, you're ready to give your life to Jesus. To have a day that you can say, I know for sure, I nailed it down. I had doubts, I wasn't sure, but I nailed it down today that I trusted Jesus. Maybe you're here and it's time to get involved, to join this church, to be faithful, or to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You've been saved, but that's your next great step. I don't know what the need is, but I know we have a wonderful Savior. His name is Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin. Emmanuel, God with us. Again, Father, just draw us to where we need to be. Have your free reign in this time of invitation. Let people not just hold back with all kinds of excuses, God. When we stand before You, there's no more excuses. Let's deal with it today. Let's be right with You and obedient to what You call us to do. In Jesus' name.